Well, you know, Olympic Games. I love Olympics. I think when I was a kid, I can remember seeing Bob Hayes win the 1960 Olympic 100 meters, and then of course he went on to be a wide receiver with the Dallas Cowboys. And I mean, I love the Olympic Games. By the grace of God, I got to go to the games in 1984 in Los Angeles. And when we got there, the person who took me, had bought tickets, bought a lot of things. One thing we couldn't get to see with the women's gymnastics, totally sold out. No way to even get tickets. And you start thinking about all the dedication and the sacrifice that's involved in that. I remember reading some stories about the guys and the girls who are gymnasts, and they'll work 4 to 6 hours a day. I mean, every day, you know. I read stuff about Shannon Miller, about her life and what dedication she had and what sacrifice she had just being a gymnast for that time. When you think about sacrifice, you think about giving up something. You say, making a sacrifice. And so when you think about a sacrifice, it involves giving up or giving something up. And when we think about ministry, there is sacrifice involved. And I really realize there's two sides to it. There's God's sacrifice, and then there's our sacrifices. And this evening, we're going to look at that fourth aspect of ministry. The measure of ministry is sacrifice, and we want to see that. Let me remind you, we started by just raising four questions. What is ministry? It means service. What is our ministry? We're to make disciples. We're serving Jesus Christ. How do we minister? It's the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we saw the whole idea of being faithful in ministry. Then we threw the outline up, and I'm going to go through it very quickly. Remember, we've seen these first three. Foundation of ministry's character, the motive of ministry's love, the nature of ministry's service. Tonight, we're looking at the measure of ministry's sacrifice. Then we're going to talk about authority and submission, purpose of ministry's the glory of God. And then we'll see the last ones, tools or God's word and prayer, the results of ministry's growth, the power of the ministry's the Holy Spirit, and the model of ministry's Christ. And once again, these are really some foundational things that we know, and yet they're things that we need to think about and say, you know, if I'm going to make an impact for Jesus Christ, I need to think about how ministry functions. Well, let me remind you of the first one we saw, the foundation of ministry is character. And we said that you have to be people of character. If we're going to touch lives for Jesus Christ, if we're going to minister and serve others as we serve our Savior, we're going to have to be people of character. We're going to have to do what we say. We're going to have to be godly people. We're going to have to be that way. The second thing is we saw the motive of ministry is love, and that is the key. The motive behind what we do is love, God's love for us, and then we love God and we love others. And you remember the great commandment that he said is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love and soul, love your neighbors yourself. And then he came on and said, love others as I love you. So the motive for ministry is love. And if you have your motive as something else, I think eventually you'll burn out in ministry. I think that you'll, if you do it because you something, but the bottom line, you got to do it because you love God and love others. The third one we saw last time was the nature of ministry is service. And that's what ministry is. It's serving God and serving others. And it's pretty powerful. And last time we saw that, you know, to make a decision to be a disciple, to live for Christ, to serve Jesus Christ as we serve others. Well, this evening we move to the fourth one, and that is the measure of ministry is sacrifice. And that's a key word. And when we say the word sacrifice, we immediately think there's a cost involved. And when we think of ministry and sacrifice, there's a cost involved, and we're going to talk about it as we get into it. Let's think about sacrifice for just a second. There's really a twofold way of thinking about sacrifice. First of all, when you think about it, it means like to give up something, to let go, to make a sacrifice. It involves giving up something. And sometimes, you know, like I love baseball, and there's a guy comes to bat, and he bunts the ball and gets the guy over second. Everybody says, oh, that's a sacrifice. He gave up his opportunity to bat, basically, to get a guy down to second or third or whatever he did. So you think about sacrifice that way. Sometimes you think about how parents sacrifice for children. You know, that you give up a lot of things. And you know, all you have to do is ask any parent in this room, what do you make sacrifices as a parent? And the answer is, yeah. I always tell the story, but it's really true. I used to wonder why my mother never wanted the last piece of pie, you know. There was a piece of pie, and of course, mom would say, oh, no, you want it. I don't want it. You want it. I mean, that because I bet she wanted it, but she just said, you know how it is. And in a substitute, when you think about a sacrifice, involves giving up something, a substitute where somebody might take somebody else's place and they give up something there. There's a second aspect of a sacrifice, and that's offering something given. And we think back like Old Testament sacrifices, which they gave up something, which was actually an act of worship. And the truth is, even today, whenever we sacrifice, We're giving up something, and technically we're saying, I'm making an offering to God. A sacrifice is an act of worship. And when we think about it biblically, that's what, as believers, we sacrifice and we give up as an act of worship to God. And I think it's pretty powerful to think of it that way. You know, if you think about, the whole idea of giving, and we're going to talk more about some other things in a little bit, but when you give, that's an act of worship. It's a sacrifice. It's giving up something. When you start thinking about all the different ways that we do that. Well, ministry is sacrifice. So let's talk about sacrifice and ministry. And as I mentioned it a while ago, two ways to think about it. God's sacrifice for us. It's pretty powerful, of course. And then we're going to see our sacrifice, or you could even put our sacrifices. I put sacrifice there because there's some different things underneath it. Our sacrifice for God. Let's think about the first one, and that's God's sacrifice for us. Whenever you think about ministry and the aspects of ministry, things always begin with God. Now, I want you to think about it. All things go back to God. When you think about love, love in ministry comes as God loves us, and then we love God and love others. Service in ministry comes as God serves us. He came to die on the cross, paid for sin, rise again. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so it starts with his service, then we serve. Sacrifice is the same way. When we think about sacrifice, it's really God's sacrifice for us that then allows us to sacrifice for God. It goes that way. So let's think about God's sacrifice for us. And if you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is what I have there for you. Look what it says. God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. There's a lot of ways to look at that. One is the substitute aspect, that he took our place because we owed death and the wages of sin is death, but Jesus Christ came and died. But there's a second aspect of not only the aspect of substitution, but you think of a sacrifice, how he died for us. He died in our place. The sacrifice begins with God sending his only son as a sacrifice for mankind. You think of the whole story of the Bible, and that's what it is. Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. What did the son do? The son was the sacrifice. God showed his love toward us that Christ died in our place. You think of the next verse Peter 3:18. Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Think about that. Christ died for our sins once for all, just for the unjust. He took our place, and the idea is that he did the sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of the Son. He died not for his sin, he died for our sin. He died to bring us back to God. So it's pretty powerful when you think about it that way. There's another key verse. I think I have it. Yeah, Hebrews 9:26. Listen to this one. But now at the consummation of the ages, basically the writer of Hebrews says, but now at exactly the right time, as everything came together at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The writer in Hebrews 9:26 says, at the right time, coming together in all of the ages, Jesus Christ has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When you think about the Bible, Wayne showed me a little book that's written by a guy that is kind of an outline or overview of the whole Bible. It's not a very big book, but it gives kind of the big overview. It's pretty neat. And when you think about the Bible, you go back to the beginning, and what are people looking for? Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and all the way down David. They're all looking for this Messiah who's going to come. And at exactly the right time, it says, in the consummation of the ages, bringing together of these ages, he has been manifest to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us. So it, basically God and the Son made the sacrifice. When we think about God's sacrifice for us, it demonstrates his love. Christ died for us. He put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Father did that. I think the most famous verse in the Bible is, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. I always look at that aspect as a twofold way to me. When I look at it, most of the time people say, God so loved the world, and we're thinking God the Father, that he gave his only begotten Son. So here's what the Father did. The Father's saying, I'm making a sacrifice. I'm sending my Son. And we go on with a verse that, you know, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, would have eternal life. But you also realize that the sacrifice was the Son as well. And I want you to do this. Turn just to the book of Philippians just for a second. And I want you to see something. Philippians chapter 2. And there's a very famous passage, and if you just want to write down the verses, and in some other time do a lot more study on this, because I recommend that you do that. Philippians chapter 2, beginning about verse 5 and going through verse 11. It's a famous passage. It's a theological passage. It's called the kenosis passage. When theologians study, because the word kenosis means to empty, and that passage talks about that he emptied himself at the beginning in verse 7. So notice what it says. For have this attitude in yourselves. This is verse 5. Have your attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. In other words, think like Jesus. Well, how did Jesus think? Although he existed in the form of God, that literally means he's God, because it's talking about an outward form based on inward reality. He's God. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Notice he knew he didn't have to stay in heaven. He emptied himself. It means he left heaven, taking the form of a bondservant, became in the likeness of a man, being found in appearance of a man. What did he do? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He emptied himself, which means he left the glories of heaven and veiled who he is. He became a human being, which is a pretty humbling thing if you're the eternal God and you've always existed and you've existed in a spirit form for all eternity. And then at a point in time in history, you limit yourself in one sense by becoming a human being. And you, the God-man, from that point on, he found an appearance as a man, humbled himself to become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. It's pretty powerful. God made the sacrifice so that we could be brought back to a relationship with him, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. So the very first aspect, and this is, you know, when you think about the truths that we've been seeing over these weeks, they're not anything that you haven't heard before. Maybe you've not heard the details, or you've not thought of it quite in that way, but these are great things. And when we think about, you know, sacrifice in ministry, we realize that the sacrifice in ministry is that whole idea that God sent his son. And so when we think about ministry, it all begins with God, and all the sacrifice begins with God. He is the one who served us by giving the great sacrifice, his son, Jesus Christ. You know, all of us in this room, many of you grew up in church from a child, and some of you have been in church for a number of years. I don't even say numbers for some of you, 40, 50, you know, just way up there, just old people. No, I'm just making that up. But if you think about it, some of us grew up in church. I didn't go to church till I was 19. But the truths about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the salvation and the gift and all that, sometimes it just goes right past us. We've heard it all our lives, or some of us have. And we need to stop and think. You realize what God did. That the perfect God, who's always existed, who didn't need anything, doesn't need us to love him, doesn't need anything, created us. When we fail, he said, I'm going to provide a way, and I'm going to send the sacrifice of my son. And as I said a while ago, that's the story of the Bible. Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. Now, from this sacrifice, we think about the God sacrifice. Let's think about the second part, and that's our sacrifice for God. And you can put an S on there if you wanted to, because we're going to talk about our sacrifices, but we start with just the fact that we make a sacrifice for God. What are we talking about when we say we make sacrifice? Well, we're not dealing with the issue of salvation. Make sure we understand that, because there is no sacrifice for us. Let's put it this way. No sacrifice from us in salvation. The sacrifice and salvation comes from the Son, comes from the Father sending the Son. We do not do the sacrifice. The Son does the sacrifice. We don't give up anything. God gives it all up. We get eternal life as a gift. When you think about what you hear people say, and they'll say things like, if you're willing to turn away from your sins, if you're willing to make a public profession, if you're willing to get baptized, that's telling you, here's what you must do, give up, be willing to do in order to be saved. That's not part of the salvation message, because there's no sacrifice from us as far as salvation is concerned. There's a sacrifice in our salvation, but the sacrifice is from the Son, Jesus Christ. When we're dealing with sacrifice, we're looking at discipleship. We're looking at ministry and service. Salvation costs us nothing. It's based on God's sacrifice. But discipleship, ministry, costs us our lives. Sacrifice cost us. As we saw earlier, that sacrifice involves in giving up something. One of my favorite passage, when I say favorite, just how it hits me, in the Old Testament, when there was a plague coming, and David went and he wanted to buy some property. And what he wanted to do was buy some property and offer a sacrifice to stop the plague. And so he went to the guy's place and said, I'd like to buy your land. And the guy said, no, you're the king and you want to make a sacrifice. I will give you the land. I will even give you I'll build the altar. I'll give you the animals. And David said, how can I sacrifice something to God that cost me nothing? A sacrifice is going to have to cost me. So he bought it from the guy, paid the price from the guy, and did it and did the sacrifice. Sacrifice cost us. When somebody says to be saved, it's going to cost you. No, it's not. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have a sacrifice in salvation. Jesus Christ did it all. That's why it's by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. But in ministry, there is sacrifice. It's going to cost us. We make a sacrifice, and you know what the ultimate sacrifice is? What is it? It's our lives. It's exactly, it's us. We say to God, I give you my life. It cost you your life. That's why what we talk about, and we've been doing it on Sunday morning, that salvation salvation is by faith, and discipleship is by following. Salvation is believing in Jesus, and discipleship is following Jesus, and it cost us, and we sacrifice our lives. Listen to this. I think I have the verses. Do I have it? Yeah, Matthew 10. Listen to this. Matthew 10, 38. He's talking about in the flow, it's discipleship. And he says, if you do not take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Because if you find your life, you lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. He's basically saying, if you want to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross and follow me. You have to die to yourself and follow me. It's going to cost you. Because if you think you're going to keep your life, you'll ultimately lose it. You'll live this life, but you won't have anything for it. But if you lose your life for my sake, give up your life for my sake, that's when you really find it. So we take up our cross, we die daily, we lose our life for Christ. We offer our lives as living sacrifices. Now, by me saying that, you have to know which verse I'm going to. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies as living sacrifices. I think the next, there it is. That's the key. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You don't have to turn there. I think most people know it. But think about this. When we talk about the sacrifice that we make in ministry, it really goes back to ourselves. Now, I want to stop for just a second. I want you to think about this. I believe that a lot of people put their faith in Christ for eternal life. That they realize they sin, they come short of God's glory, there's nothing in themselves that they could do to get salvation. They realize Jesus died for them, paid for sin, rose again. He's offering the gift of eternal life. And if they'll trust in him, they'll be saved and saved forever. I think a lot of people, they may not hear it that clear, but a lot of people believe in Christ for salvation. I don't think a lot of people give their lives in service for Jesus Christ. If they did, things would be a lot different. I mean, there are a lot of people in our church, I think, who are disciples who say, God, I just want my life to count for you. I understand that ministry is sacrifice. And sometimes we get worn out. Sometimes when you begin to serve and you give your life, I mean, sometimes things don't go as smooth, or there's not response that you think ought to be. There's not this and not this. But, you know, it's costing you. It costs you your life. It costs you your time. It costs you, and I don't even like to put it this way. I have a lot of people say it costs you your dreams and your goals. It doesn't really. Because when you say to God, I don't care where I go, I don't care what I do, I just want my life to count for you, so you use me, as you delight yourself in the Lord, what does he give you? Desires. He gives you the desires of your heart. And ultimately, when you live for Jesus Christ, you're actually doing what you want to do. Now, let me ask you something. Do I want to teach the Bible? I love it, right? Okay, but there was a time when I was a coach that I thought, listen, I don't want to say anything to God like, use me, Lord, because I want to be a coach, and I'd be miserable doing something else. No, right now, I'd be miserable if I was a coach. When you say to God, I want my life to count for you, I'll go wherever you want me to go, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I just want my life to count for you, it's going to cost you your life, but it'll be the greatest life you've ever had. Think about Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, well, I'm going to turn there just because, and if you want to turn there, you can, but you don't have to. But listen to how he puts it. Most of you know it. He says, I urge you, I beg you, believers, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Offer lives as sacrifices. And then he tells us how you really do it. He says, here's what you do. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't live like this world. Don't be shaped by this world. Don't be conformed and shaped into the mold of the world, but be transformed. Metamorphose, the Greek word coming from the inside out, but be changed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to say to God, I give you my life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I think it's the scariest decision you make as a Christian. That when you really think about it, though, how dumb are we to think, oh, no, thank you, Lord, I'd like to control my own life. I'd like to do my own thing. I think I know what's best for me. How stupid is that, right? We don't know the next second. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. He knows what's best for us. He knows everything. Why wouldn't we say, God, I don't know anything. You know everything. I give it all to you. You just direct my life wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. Wouldn't that be the smartest thing to do? And yet, most believers do not do that. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think most Christians don't become disciples? They think, they're saying, I'd rather make my own choices. I want to do my own thing. But, yeah. What else? Anybody got anything else? What are they afraid of? Because that's a great point. What are they? Well, that's right. But are we in, she said it perfectly. They're afraid they're not going to be in control. Are we in control anyway? No. Do we decide when we live? How long we live, when we're born, what color. I mean, we don't decide what color our eyes are. We don't decide how tall we are, because if we decided how tall we are, I would be taller, right? We don't decide any of that. We don't. It's amazing. You see, we say, oh, I want to control my life. I said, you're not in control of your life now. My gosh. Fear that they might not be happy. How about that one? Do you think a lot of people would say, look, if I really get on fire, or if I get so-called religious, as some people might say, if I really say to God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, he might make me miserable. I mean, I might have to be a missionary somewhere, something that I don't want to do. I want to have fun in life. I mean, do you think people think that God is going to say, boy, if they just make that choice, I'm going to make their life miserable? I can hardly wait for them to say, oh, Lord, I want to serve you. And I'm going to go, yeah, boy, you're in for it now. Do you think that's what God does? I mean, he's saying, I love you. I love you more than you can imagine. If you'll serve me, your life will be so beyond what you could imagine. Now, it's a cost. It's a sacrifice. I beg you, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The measure of ministry begins with this sacrifice, our lives. We want our lives to count for God. And they're all kind of, you know, you think about it, there are a lot of sacrifices. As we offer our lives, there are a lot of sacrifices we do, but there's two things I want us to think about. One is the sacrifice that we offer to God and sacrifice we offer to others. And you say, offer to others. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices all the time. And most of the time when we think about sacrifices, we think of sinful things. We think people sinned and they had to bring an animal up there and put their hands on top and the animal was killed. But there were all kinds of sacrifices. There were peace offerings. There were thank offerings. If you were thankful to God, and you know, you were somewhere and you said, oh Lord, get me out of this, and they got you out of this, you offered a vow. You said, I said to God, thank you, Lord, so I'm going to bring this sacrifice to God and say, thank you, Lord. So there were all kinds of sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament. Now, we think about their sacrifices that we offer, and the first aspect is, what do we offer to God? Hebrews 13:15. I want you to turn there, because Hebrews 13 is, we're going to stay there for just a little bit. Look at Hebrews 13, and I want you to see sacrifices. Now, it all starts with the sacrifice of our lives. And under the sacrifice of our lives, we'll think about, as we go through life, what do we offer to God and what do we offer to others as sacrifices? What do we offer to God? I want you to look at Hebrews 13. Look at verse 15. He says, through him, talking about through our Savior, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of what? Praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When we offer up, we can offer up to God the sacrifice of praise. Praise and thanksgiving. That's a sacrifice. When somebody says, well, God, you know, God did it all for you. Well, as a believer, you say to God, first of all, I'm giving you my life. And then, as a whole, I want to offer up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Notice how he says it. Let us continually. not just every now and then, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. So the sacrifice of praise is thankfulness to God. That's what it really is. And we can be thankful to God for everything, no matter what it is. Count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials. Testing of your faith works patience. It causes you to trust God. We're thankful. We praise God by our lips with the greatness of our God and Savior. We can offer daily, continually, a sacrifice to God. When, you know, I know that, and we're all guilty, but I mean, let's say we come together, it's a Sunday morning. Before you come, I mean, did we wake up? Did you pray? Did you say, oh Lord, I'm coming to worship you this morning, and I'm going to see my friends, and I'm going to be taught the Bible, and I'm going to study. Thank you, Lord, I have that privilege. And then when we come in and those songs start, do we really sing the songs? Or do we just sing words that we know and our mind's not necessarily clicked into it? I mean, can you sing a song and not really listen to the words, right? I mean, you know, you just sing it and then the song's over. And if somebody said, actually, what was that song about? You might say, let me think of the words. So one of the things we can do is we come together on a Sunday morning and we say to God, as I start to sing, as I start to pray, as I start to give, as I start to respond, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to lift up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you for who you are. That's a sacrifice we can offer to God. And we can do it continually, as He says, and we should. What about to others? Because that's the second part. Sacrifice to others. Well, you know, when you think about it, our goal is to invest our lives in others. Because when we say this, we say, first of all, our sacrifice is I offer my life. I'm giving my life to God. And as I give my life to God, then He says to me, offer up the sacrifice of praise, fruit of your lips, and the giving thanks. But what about sacrificing to others? For others might be the way to do it. We invest our lives. Look at Hebrews 13:16, which is the next verse. And He says, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such what? Sacrifices, God is pleased. There's really two things there. I think we have it. Doing good and sharing. Now, sharing is doing good. But He's put some separately here, and He says, let's think about two things. Doing good and sharing. When you think about doing good, that means doing good things, doing good works, doing good deeds, helping people out. We sacrifice as we do things for other people. When we wake up in the morning and we say to God, God, my life is for you. You know what He's really saying to us? Okay, you invest your life, which is for me, you invested in other people. You sacrifice your life to touch the lives of other people. And we start going, well, what does that really mean? Well, it means doing good for others. We look out for their well-being. We do what's good. We look out what's best for them. The Philippians passage where He says, don't look out just so much for the things of yourself, but look out for the things of others. Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says, and I love this. Let me read this to you. I'm going to get over here because I love the verse. He says, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want to speak confidently. Paul's writing to Titus. He says, so that those of us who have believed in God will be very careful to do good deeds. These are profitable and good for people. He says, be very careful that you do good. And so the writer of Hebrews says, you want to offer up a sacrifice? When you deal with others, offer sacrifice of doing good for them. Doing good. There's a second thing, and that's the sharing. And notice He says, and with doing good and sharing, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. When you give, sharing means take the things that God has given to you and give some things away. I read a study yesterday. It came in the mail. It's one of these new studies, George Barna, about giving in the church. Now, we're not talking about people who just barely go to church. We're talking about people who are members of churches in the United States who would say that probably average going twice a month. Okay? Twice a month people. And they said, what is the average giving for a family in a church, either an individual or a family in a church for a year? $800 total for a year. That's $75 a month. When you take the average income in the United States, put around all over the place, family income is close to $50,000. So what are they giving? About 0.3%. Not even 1% from a family unit. There's not much sacrifices in that area. And giving is, and I'm not just saying giving to the local church. I mean, you give and you take what you come in. You know, I've talked to different people even recently about the whole idea of giving. We've been talking about it. You know, the idea that you know, it's more blessed to what? Give than receive. You never miss anything. You give away. You take what God gives you and you give of the first fruits and you just say, this is a great gift. You know, I'm just going to give it away. And God always takes care of you. Oh, it's amazing. And he says, with such sacrifices as doing good and sharing. Philippians chapter 4, where Paul writes, where the Philippian church, or the church that Philippian church had sent to him when he was in prison, they sent him obviously money. They sent him money and food and other things. And he says, thanks for the gifts. And then he says, what a great worship, a great sweet smelling worship that you have, act of worship that you've done. He described it as a sacrifice that was sweet smelling to God because they had done it. So when we think about sacrifices in ministry, first we say to God, we offer our lives and we have living sacrifices and we, as for others, we do good. We share and all of those kind of things. And we understand that the measure of ministry is sacrifice. It's not living for self. It's living for others. We will change and our world will change. Let's start first. We will change. Our local churches will change and our whole culture and community will change if all the believers sacrifice themselves for the service of our great God and Savior. So when we think about the measure of ministry, it begins with God's sacrifice for us as he sent his son. Then our sacrifice back to God as we offer our lives as living sacrifice, and then we offer the sacrifice of praise. And then our sacrifice for others as we do good and we share. So there's a lot in there. Let me give you some applications. We'll open up for any questions we might have. First of all, understanding God's sacrifice for us. I mean, do we realize what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? It is God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is Jesus Christ who left the glories of heaven. It is God who demonstrates his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It is Christ who died for us just for the unjust to take us to God. I mean, what a sacrifice. So the greatest sacrifice of all time is God giving us his son. With that in mind, let's offer our lives as sacrifices. That's the key. That's where it starts. And the whole idea goes in twofold. And I don't know, do we have it up there? Yeah, to God, which is we use our lives as living sacrifices. We lift up the sacrifice of praise. But then to others, we say, okay, I'm going to do good to all men, especially the household of faith. It's a very positive thing that we do good. This is profitable for all people. And share. So the question for all of us, I would, and it's probably not good to assume anything, but I would look around this room and I know almost everybody in here in a personal way that you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I also know that most of you in this room have said to God, I want my life to count for you. And then if you haven't done that, or if you, you know, think about what am I supposed to do now that I know I have eternal life and I've received the gift of eternal life and the sacrifice has been from the Son. Now, what do I do? I offer my life as a sacrifice. And are we offering sacrifices to God? Sacrifice of our lips, doing good works with others or for others, sharing as we invest our lives. So may we understand God's sacrifice for us as we offer our lives as living sacrifices to serve God and others. So the measure of ministry is sacrifice. And so if you think about it, we start off in the foundation of ministry is what? You may remember? It's character. And the motive of ministry is love, and the nature of ministry is service. And now we see that the whole measure of ministry is sacrifice. It's pretty powerful stuff, and it can definitely change our lives. And we could say, well, I know all of that. I do too. We all know it. The question is, do we do it? That's the key. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great night. Thank you for your truth. And Lord, when we think about it, you loved us so much that you sent your son and you've shown us the greatest sacrifice of all, that you sacrificed your son. Jesus Christ died for us. And we'll never never take that for granted. Thank you. And then, Lord, you said to us, well, let's offer sacrifices. We give our lives in sacrifice and just say to you, Lord, take our lives. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of praise. And then as we come in contact with others, we do good and we share and all of those things with the bottom line of that our lives would count for you. Lord, we thank you that we should be people of character and we should love and we should serve. And now, Lord, we know that it involves a sacrifice as we, because what you have done for us, we sacrifice back in that way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Any questions? Anything? Yes, Susie.
It's kind of a sad statement and interesting in our culture. If you try to do good things for folks or share, a lot of people don't trust it.
Well, they wonder why you're doing it. Yeah.
It
really is. There was, she said, I don't know if you could hear it, but she said sometimes in our culture when you want to do good things, do things for others or give something to them, they don't really trust it. They wonder, why are you doing that? It's suspect to them. There was a person, this is years ago, and I'm really talking years ago, 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that we knew that they had a need. And so just they were in our church, came to our church, not members of our church, but came to our church, and we knew they had a need. And the church was fairly small in those days, maybe 100-something people. And some several of the people knew there was a need. And so some people came to me, and we got together some money. And I went to their house and knocked on the door and, you know, hugged them because they came. And I said, we know you're having a heart, so we would like to give you this. They would not take it. They said, we don't take anything from anybody. And see, that sounds like, some people think that sounds good. I think it sounds terrible. I mean, we all need everybody. Nobody's self-sufficient. There is no Lone Ranger Christian. There's nobody that says, I don't need anybody else. You know, one of the ways you see the humility and understanding is when God gives you stuff through other people. I mean, that was the biggest thing I had to learn when I went to seminary, because I'd been a coach, I had a decent salary, and then suddenly I go to Dallas Seminary, and I have an income of about $500 a month total, and my rent's $350. And for 4 years, I made it all the way through seminary without borrowing any money, and my income was $500. Seminary cost me in those days for 4 years about $18,000. I never borrowed a penny. And I never made more than $600 a month, and I never borrowed a penny and made it all the way through seminary, made it all the way through. How did I do that? People gave it to me. I don't know how. I look back now, and I can't even remember how we did it, how it happened. I don't remember. But I remember there would be times I would just open up my mailbox, and there would be a check in it from somebody. What if I said, I'm sorry, I don't take anything from anybody? You can't, you know. Yeah, you'd be a lot shorter now. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That could happen. Yeah, Bill.
Part of our problem in deciding is the terminology, because sacrifice tends to focus on what I'm giving up. And really what we're doing is we're investing.
Right,
we're
right.
Investing in the kingdom, but I invest in, rather than I'm sacrificing my time to help someone, I'm investing.
Yeah, you are sacrificing your time in your life, but it is an investment which most people miss. You're right. They're only thinking of what would I be giving up, and you're saying, yeah, you're giving up. You're giving up your life, but what you're doing is investing in another life and investing in eternity. You're exactly right.
If I never sacrifice for my retirement, I wouldn't have retirement.
That's right. Because what you were doing, you were giving up. Yeah, you
were
giving up, but you were investing at
the same
time. Exactly. That's why, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you what? You reap, you sow. And everybody says that's negative. No, the verse is not negative. The first part is negative. If you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit life, eternal life. I mean, so that is a principle that whenever you give out, God blesses you back. It's an investment. Oh, it's amazing to be used by God. I mean, what happens when you say it feels good is because God uses you. And anytime God uses you, you say, I can't believe it. God used me.
A couple things were in Romans 12:2, where it says, you know, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I think he pointed out a few weeks ago that that's the same word transformed that was used for Christ during the Transfiguration, which impacted me to think that God is asking me to do the same thing, having the full glory of God shine through me in that same manner.
You're being changed, that's right.
In the same manner that Christ was on the Mount. And that goes on down to where we're talking about doing good and sharing. Our heart needs to be in the right spot when we're doing it. I mean, because if I've got the money to do it, I could give you the money for the Family Resource Center out here.
Thank you.
As long as you name it after me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll take the money and name it after you. Yeah, I'll do that.
But,
you know,
that would be self-serving as opposed to for the glory of God. Looking at that and thinking that, I was thinking about, I think it was during new member training that you were telling about, I think it was here anyway, that there was a family that was in need and the church knew about it, so they were taking up food collections or whatever, and this one little girl brought food in, and come to find out it was her family that they were giving food for, or they were gathering food for. It was, you know, I mean, their heart was in the right spot. You know, they knew that there was a family in need. They didn't realize it was them.
You know,
and I don't know how many of you, how many people have lived in that situation where, you know, I grew up poor but didn't realize it until I was older.
Now, you didn't even know you were poor. That's right. I think it's a great blessing to not know you're poor.
All my friends were.
I know. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I have a question. If you say to the Lord that you want to give your life as a sacrifice, you say that and you make that commitment, but then how do you know that you're following through?
Well, He takes you at your word, and He'll take your life and use you. I mean, if you say to God, God, I want whatever you want me to do, just I want to wake up every day. Because, you know, the idea of being a disciple and offering your life, there is in the Romans 12 passage, it's a one-time deal. It's the way it's written in the Greek. But Jesus also says, take up your cross daily. And so it's an idea of you say, God, I want my life to count for you. And then as you get up every day, you say, God, take my life today and use me because I've offered it to you. And I think I'll tell you this. This is just my personal experience. I had trusted Christ when I was 19, was not growing as a Christian, really did bad things until I was about 25. I was coaching, and I got to the point that I realized, you know, I was going to a church. I went on Sunday mornings. That was it. I knew the pastor well. He's the one that led me to Christ, you know. And I remember coming home from spring training. It was right at the end of the school year because we had spring training at the end. It was a horrible time to have it with us when we had it. And I came home, and I was just miserable as a Christian. And I went, and I got by my bed, and I said, oh, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. I'm tired of all this. I know that I haven't lived for you. I haven't done what I want from this point on. I want my life to count for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. The next day, on the football field, I'm standing there like this. We have one of our graduate assistant coaches who also went to my church, and he comes up to me, hits me on the shoulder. I said, yeah, what's up? He said, you know, I was thinking about this last night. Would you give your testimony Sunday morning? And I went, yeah. And then I went, boy, Lord, you were serious about that thing, weren't you? I mean, dadgum. That actually happened. And I got up that Sunday morning scared to death. I've never been the same since then, really, since that night. My life has never been the same. I've trusted Christ as my Savior and have eternal life. And that didn't necessarily impact my daily life. It impacted my eternity. But when I said to God, I want my life to count for you, that impacted my daily life. That's why He says our goal is to what? Make disciples, not just save people. Our goal is to lead them to Christ and then train them, teach them to observe all which is commanded. So discipleship's the key for us to make an impact and be different people. What else? Anything else? Yeah, Matt. Yeah. How does what?
I've heard you tell stories like that before.
Oh, well, I think you, yeah. How does planning go? You plan just like you're supposed to plan, and he sometimes changes your plans. Sometimes he does it differently than you thought. I mean, he says, you know, I mean, a guy doesn't go to seminary by saying, I'm just going to go down there, and I don't have any money, I don't have any way to go, but I'm going to go. That, I don't, he's saying, well, you might not go if you do that, at least not right now. So, I mean, I think he expects us to plan and think, and, you know, it's sort of like if Bill said, I'm just going to trust God, I'll have a retirement. God said, well, that's a great move, but that's not exactly how I plan for you to have a retirement. Right. He has to plan. That's right. There is that aspect of it. You're exactly right. Good point.
And if he blesses you above your needs, maybe he's doing that so that you can plan.
Or even give. You know, there's a great point there. You know, why would God give you more money? So you can what? Give it away. Have you, you know that? Remember the parable? We're going to get it in Luke where the guy gets up and he's got so much stuff and he says, I got more stuff than my barns can hold. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down those barns. I'm going to build even bigger barns and then I can relax. And what happens to him? Dies that time. And you know what the deal was? He wasn't looking at what God was blessing him as how I can use it for the glory of God. He was saying, it's my stuff. And he never got to enjoy it, so to speak. I think when God continually blesses us, it's not so I can get more stuff. It's so you could say, how am I going to use this? How does God want to use this? What needs can I meet this way? How can God use me for his glory? That's what it really is. Yeah.
How do you keep that eternal perspective? Like when you look at a buck or look at a cup of coffee,
yeah,
a lot of times instead of giving it away and impacting souls.
Well, I think it goes back a lot to what these guys said about planning. You have an eternal perspective. You know that this is a short time and that what you do here does have some impact on rewards and those kind of things. And so you might say, I have a buck that is for coffee, but I also have a buck that I'm giving away. So you plan that when you get blessed by God, you say, I'm going to give away the first fruits and I'm going to save some of this and then I'm going to spend some of this. You have a plan, and that's an eternal aspect of saying my giving away and my serving is going to help me in eternal way to touch lives for Christ. That's how I see it, you know, because technically you could give away everything you have, right? Couldn't you just give away everything? I'm just going to trust God. He's given me $1,000. I'm not going to pay rent. I'm not going to pay it. No, he didn't say that. He said, look, be a wise person. You have obligations. Here's what I'm giving you. Give some away, save some, and then meet your obligations. What happens is people get obligations way beyond what they should have gotten with things like credit cards and all that other stuff, and they get money in and they go, I can't even pay my obligations. Well, whose fault is that? You know, so, well, we don't need to get on that part. As Prof. Hendricks would say, let's move on. That's too convicting. But anything else? Yeah. Well, no, here's what happens. You just give that away, and then you walk somewhere, and the guy says, hey, come here, let me buy you a cup of coffee. And you go, okay, sure. You know? Dear Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thanks for the fun and thanks for all the different discussion. Lord, we just want our lives to count for you. And Lord, you are a great God who loves us beyond what we could imagine. And Lord, when we give our lives to you in service, it's not a bad thing. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. It's scary. It's a cost us. It's an investment. May we live our lives for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.